Would you take your Bibles this morning, please? And I want you to open to the Old Testament book of Joshua. And I want you to find the passage in chapter 24, verse 14 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and verse 15. And would you stand for the reading of God's word today? Joshua chapter 24, classic passage. I'm sure you know this well. Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Thank you so much. You may be seated. Pray with me this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the song that we just heard. And it is so very true, Lord, that we're overwhelmed by your grace in our life. Lord, speak to us today from your word. Challenge our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, there's something very stirring about the last words of a great man. On April the 19th, 1951, an old soldier said his final farewell. That was the time when General Douglas MacArthur was relieved of his duties by the then president, President Truman. And he said those famous words that, "I now close my military career and just fade away." An old soldier that tried to do his duty as God gave him the sight to do that duty. That's kind of the tone of this passage that we just read. Joshua is close to death. He is going to really give his final words. These are really his last words just before he fades away into history. But the last words that he gives are very, very important. In fact, in the book of Joshua, the last three chapters are really just three sermons that Joshua preached. Now, Joshua wasn't a preacher. He was a soldier who spoke very eloquently. And in chapter 22, Joshua speaks to 2.5 tribes, the tribe of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They dwelt on the east side of the Jordan, and he challenged them. And then in chapter 23, he speaks to the elders, the leaders of Israel. And then when you come here to chapter 24, Joshua is speaking to the entire nation. I want you to kind of picture this in your mind. It is a convocation of the people of Israel, and they met at a historic place, a place called Shechem. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 24 to give you the context. "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before the Lord." So just picture in your mind, there's a huge crowd of thousands and thousands of people, and they're gathered there together at this place called Shechem. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. This happened once before in the book of Joshua in chapter 8, when half of the tribes were on Mount Ebal, because Shechem is between two mountains. On one side is Mount Ebal, on the other side is Mount Gerizim, and there in the valley is where Joshua would speak, and they tell us, archaeologists and people who have been there, you could see this, that it's really a natural amphitheater that people can be heard on each side of the mountain. And here's this huge assembly. And this place, Shechem, is very historic to the people of Israel. You might say that it's a holy place to the nation of Israel. And the reason for this is because when Abraham first came into the promised land, he first stopped at this very spot, this place called Shechem. And it was there at Shechem. There's a tree there that's a special tree called the Tree of Morah. And it was there at that spot that the Lord appeared to Abraham and gave him the encouragement that he was going to give the land to his descendants. And so Abraham, when the Lord appeared to him there at Shechem, he built an altar unto the Lord. Later, his grandson Jacob also built an altar there at Shechem. So this is a holy spot. This is a holy place. And Joshua is there, and he's going to speak to these people, and he's going to give them a challenge. And the challenge really is summarized in the verses that we just read, where Joshua is saying, choose who you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what Joshua is doing is he's calling upon them to make a decision. specifically the leaders and the fathers. He's telling them, you need to decide if you're going to serve the Lord. Joshua was a man of decision. Joshua had made that decision long ago when he was a young man. Under the mentorship of Moses, he determined that he was going to serve the Lord. That was a once-for-all lifetime decision that he made. And he continued serving the Lord all of his days. There are some people that say early on they're going to serve the Lord, but somewhere along the line they stop serving God. That never happened to Joshua. He served the Lord when he was young. He served him in his middle years. And here he is at the end saying, whatever days that I have left, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's my decision. That's the greatest decision anyone can ever make. I will tell you that the greatest decision I ever made as a young man, a teenager, was to decide, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give my life to the Lord. Let me tell you how it happened. I remember the first time I ever met Pastor Johnson. My dad had been saved. He was newly saved. And this was several buildings ago in the original building, you know. And my dad had gotten saved. And one Sunday, Pastor Johnson said, I need someone that can fix our church bus. That's almost typical of Baptists. We always have buses, and they always need to be fixed. And so my dad volunteered. He was a mechanic, or is a mechanic, and he volunteered. And he decided to set aside a day to come up here and fix the bus. And my dad came to me and said, you're coming with me to fix the bus. He didn't ask me. He just told me, you're coming. Now, the least favorite thing in the world that I like to do is to work on any vehicle. I am not a mechanic. If you ever come up to church and you see me under a bus, please dial 911. Because I'm not working on it. I've been hit. And really, all I was doing there that day was just handing my dad tools, and he was working on the bus, and Pastor Johnson came along, and he started talking to my dad, and suddenly he looked over at me, and the first words he ever said to me were, young man, what have you done for the Lord lately? I didn't know how to answer that. I was just speechless. I didn't want to say, well, I haven't done anything, but thank you for asking, you know. He said, it's time to serve the Lord. That was Pastor Johnson. I think I was just silent. I didn't know how to respond. But I'll never forget, that was the first challenge I ever had in my life. And it was as if the Lord was using him to speak to me, saying, you need to make a decision. You need to decide what you're going to do. Are you going to serve the Lord? And of course, later on, attending here at Grace, I got under the sound of the gospel and realized that I was a sinner and I needed to repent and trust Jesus as my Savior. And I did that. And then that very summer, I went to Christian camp for the first time. How many of you remember Camp of the Nations up there in Pennsylvania, where I went up there, 5-hour van ride. And in the van on the way up, I was reading the book of Joshua, actually, and came to verse 5. And it was a verse that really God used in my life. But I remember there at that Christian camp that I made the decision that I was going to serve the Lord. I was going to give my whole life to God for whatever the Lord wanted me to do. I surrendered to him at that time. And I want to tell you something. That was the best decision I had ever made in my life. I don't regret that. The key word here in this is the word serve. In verses 14 and 15, we see this used 7 times. And it's a word that's very inclusive. What it means is, you know, it means to honor. When you serve the Lord, it just means my whole all is given to him. I worship him. I honor him. I obey him. I dedicate myself to him. That's what it means to serve in this sense, the dedication of your whole life. If you want to be a godly father and a godly man, it's not going to be on accident. You're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to decide whether or not you want to serve the Lord. And you cannot serve God and the world at the same time. You can't do it. You can't have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It just doesn't work that way. Elijah said earlier, I was preaching through the book of 1 Kings, and we went to this passage in 1 Kings 18:2, where Elijah said to Israel, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And if Baal be God, then follow him. And the word for options there really is a word that means branches. We could say it like this, and it really has the idea of a crutch. How long are you going to limp between two crutches? You're leaning on Baal and then you're leaning on the Lord. Elijah said, make a choice. And the same is true today. God wants a clear-cut decision from us. You can't serve two masters. And God demands exclusive loyalty. In Exodus 20, verse 3, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. The Bible says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, that reveals that the love of the Father is not in you. You might pretend like you love God, but if you love the world, John says you don't have the love of the Father in you. You can't do both. You can't be in the world and in the church. So Joshua here is calling on the people to make a decision. Now, this is a serious decision, so he's going to give them some guidelines. And so what I want you to consider with me are three ways that you should make this decision to serve the Lord. And here's the first one. Number one, make your decision carefully. Make it carefully. This is not a light thing to do. Don't be careless. In fact, go back to chapter 23. And again, Joshua speaking to all the people. And what is happening here is that Joshua kind of sees some carelessness in them. They had made a decision earlier on, but it seems like they were backing away. And look down at verse number 3. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God has done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. And then look at verse number 5. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and shall drive them from out of your sight. And ye shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. So Joshua begins by telling them what God has done for them. He reminds them of the faithfulness of God. God is the one who's driven out these nations before you. Now, you have to understand this, that there are really two phases of possessing the promised land. Joshua, under his leadership, had to conquer the major military strongholds, and he did that. And then he divided up the land and issued it out unto the tribes. And now it was their job to go in and take possession, having all the major military cities and strongholds broken. They had to go in and kind of do the mopping up. They still had to go and take possession of their land and then drive out the rest of the Canaanites that were there. And Joshua is reminding them, look, you see what God did? Already he has fulfilled his promise. There's more for you to do. And if you want God to continue to work on your behalf, you better make sure that you are obeying the Lord. Look down in verse number 6 here, because he said, there's no room for complacency. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from it to the right hand or to the left. You see, Joshua saying there's no room to be complacent. You have to obey God's word completely. You have to keep your commitment to God in obedience. You remember earlier on in the first chapter, what did God say? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you're to meditate in it day and night so that you will observe to do according to all that is written in it. They were to keep God's word central in their life. They were to think about it all the time. You know why? Because the greatest challenges they would face are not going to be the giants or the strongholds or the chariots of iron or any of those military innovations that the Canaanites had. Those things God would take care of. The biggest battle they had to fight was their own complacency, their own sin. And that's why Joshua says, look, you better hold to the word of God. Don't be complacent. Then there's no room for compromise. Look at verse 7, that ye come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them nor bow yourselves down to them. You see, the concern of Joshua is that they would get complacent, and then they would, instead of driving out the Canaanites, they would make friendships with them, and they would begin to compromise the word of God. And by the way, beloved, that's exactly what happened with Israel. It's a sad story. Instead of fully driving out all the Canaanites the way God had planned, they did exactly what Joshua feared. They became influenced by the culture around them. You know what? God is leaving the church in this world so that we can have an impact on the world. The church is to change the world, not the world change the church. Sadly, what is happening is many churches are compromising, and we see it all over. Instead of holding true to the Word of God, many churches are bringing in worldly philosophies based on the wisdom of men, men who don't know God, thinking that somehow the wisdom of man can help us along some way. And friend, that's just simply not true. Just last week, we saw a big Baptist denomination vote to adopt a worldly philosophy as an analytical tool that can somehow help the church to be a better church. And when you turn to the wisdom of man, you basically turn away from the wisdom of God, the Word of God. The Bible says, cursed is a man who trusts in man, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. You start putting your faith in the wisdom of man, your heart's going to walk away from God. And you'll start trusting in man instead of trusting in the Lord. But the Bible, on the other hand, says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Because the opposite happens. When you put your trust in the Lord and you put your hope in the Lord, you draw to Him. You cleave to Him. And this is what Joshua is telling the people to do. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for carelessness. Look at verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. Continue to cleave to the Lord with all your heart. That's what you must do. God doesn't want half-hearted commitment. If you're going to make this decision, you better understand everything it requires from God. There's no room for complacency. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for carelessness. If you're going to make this decision, you better mean business before God. But here's the second thing. Not only make your decision carefully, but make your decision before God. In other words, what Joshua is going to emphasize is this decision is before the Lord. You're not doing this for your spouse, you're not doing it for men, you're not doing it for others. When you make a commitment, you're not making it to a church, you're making it to God Himself before the Lord. And so he's basically saying, don't play games with God. Look down, the key is in verse 11, chapter 23. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. In other words, he's saying, you better remember God's ways. Back up to verse 9, for the Lord has driven out from before you the great nations and strong, but as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. In other words, Joshua is saying, hasn't God kept his promises? All the way in the beginning, God said, no man is going to be able to stand before you. Now remember, there were giants all over in that land. They had to face the giants. But God made them a promise. Look, as long as you obey me, as long as you put me first, those giants are going to fall. The bigger they are, the harder they're going to fall. As long as you obey me, you keep me first, you obey my word, that's your greatest weapon, because if you do that, I'll do all the fighting for you. And the same is still true today. You got giants in your life. You got things that are troubling you. The problem is not those things. The problem is how committed are you to God? Because if you're committed to Him and obeying Him and serving Him, God will take care of all the giants. He'll take care of all the strongholds. He'll take care of all the chariots of iron. You just obey Him. And Joshua's saying, look, hasn't God kept His promise? And of course the answer is yes, of course He has. And so you better take good heed, he says, therefore, in verse 11. And remember this, look at verse 12. Else if ye do in any way or any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they unto you. For know that a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any more of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you. And then what God, he's basically saying is if you stop cleaving to the Lord, and you go back, what will happen is God's not going to be with you anymore. And what will happen is he'll leave you to yourself. You know, one of the worst judgments sometimes God can render against us is to say, you know what, I'm just going to leave you to yourself. I'm going to leave you alone. You're not going to obey me. You're not going to trust me. You're not going to cleave to me. So therefore, I'm going to leave you to yourself. And I want to tell you something, friend, that's a judgment because I don't want to be left alone. I don't want God to leave me to myself. So the admonition is very simple. If you serve the Lord, He'll bless you. If you don't, you'll have to pay the penalty yourself for that. He's saying, remember his ways, but remember his works. Look in chapter 24. Again, we're looking at the three messages that Joshua gave, but really they're the same sermon. In chapter 24, he reminds them of what God did. In fact, really it's God speaking here now, because you see the word I. Look at chapter 24, look at verse 3. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan. In verse 4, and I gave unto Isaac. Here's God saying, this is what I did. I gave unto Isaac. In verse 5, I sent Moses. In verse 6, I brought your fathers. And then down to verse 8, and I brought you into the land. And all the way down to verse 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out. In verse 13, and I have given unto you. See the common denominator there? Here's God saying, this is what I've done for you. This is what I've done. And what's the thought here? That to say, I'm going to serve the Lord all my life is reasonable considering everything that God has done for you. Because of all the blessings that God has given you, the most reasonable response to that is to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is exactly the argument that Paul uses in Romans 12, 1. Remember that? Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. The word present there is a technical word. Whenever a worshiper came to the temple, they would present their sacrifice. And Paul is saying, as believers, as New Testament believers now, we present our sacrifice, only the sacrifice is not an animal, it's ourself. And the sacrifice is not dead, it's living. God doesn't want any more dead sacrifices in the Old Testament. He wants living sacrifices now in the New Testament. And he doesn't want animals, he wants you. When he says present your body, that's the idea of your whole self. God wants your mind, your heart, your eyes, your ears. He wants every part of you. He wants every fiber of you. And that is something that that is reasonable that you should do, Paul says. It is your reasonable service, and the word service means act of worship. You know what worship is? We do this on Sunday morning, but actually worship is who we are. Everything we do, we belong to the Lord. All through the week, we should be worshiping God with every decision we make. Everything that we do is an act of worship unto God. And Paul said it's your reasonable service. Why is it so reasonable, Paul? Well, because of the mercies of God. And what are the mercies of God? Well, that's everything that Paul wrote from chapter 1 to 11 in Romans. All of the salvation that we have, all of God's love, his grace, the Holy Spirit, everlasting peace and joy and faith and comfort and strength and forgiveness and reconciliation and justification, and on we could go, all that we have been given in Christ. That's the mercies of God. And when we consider all that God has done for us, the most reasonable thing that we can do is to present ourselves to God and say, Lord, you have all of me. Let me give you the third and final point here. Make your decision carefully. Make your decision before God. Make your decision public. Because I want you to notice the people's response here. Look down in verse number 16 of chapter 24, because they respond well. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is that brought us our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Notice that they're saying, you know, yes, God, he's the one who did all this for us. And our fathers, he used our fathers to bring us to this point. You notice he's speaking to the younger generation here now. And they're saying, yes, God has done this, and he used our fathers. And so, yes, we will serve the Lord. That is our decision. Now, you think at that point, Joshua would have said, wonderful, let's pray and everyone can go home. That's not what he did. He does something very strange. Look down at verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Now, wait a minute, Joshua. You've been just telling us to serve the Lord. And now all of a sudden the people say, we'll do it. And all of a sudden Joshua turns the table and says, no, you can't do it. Why does he do that? Well, I think the reason here is he makes this statement is that he detects among some of the people a bit of insincerity. And in a sense, what he's saying is, look, don't make this decision if you don't mean it. If you're not serious before God, don't make this decision, because, you know, it'll work out really bad for you. If you make a decision to say, I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to put him first, and then you don't follow through with it, then you're in trouble. Because at that point, you'll make God very angry. Look in verse 19 again. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, and he is a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve the strange gods, then will he turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. Joshua says, if you make this decision and then you turn away from it and you don't follow through, then you're in big trouble because you have angered a holy God, and God is not to be trifled with. And the same is still true today. Let me tell you something, beloved. When you make a decision to follow Christ, you better follow through with that decision. God is not a God to be trifled with. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And what he's saying here is that in the Old Testament law, under the law, when someone sinned so presumptuously, so high-handed against God, there was no provision in the law for them of forgiveness at that point. And Joshua's saying, you better be careful that in doing this, you enter into it too lightly and you don't consider the cost. But again, look at the people's response. Look at verse 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. I love what Joshua does here. The people said, no, we're serious. And Joshua says, okay, well then we'll make this public. You're going to do this among yourselves, and you're going to keep your accountable among yourselves of this decision that you make. In other words, this is not a private decision. You need to make it known among all the people in the congregation that it's your decision to serve the Lord. If you're not willing to make it public, I doubt the sincerity of your heart. Make it known. I remember in November, when I was still a teenager, on a Sunday night, Pastor Johnson was preaching. And Pastor Johnson, on that night, when he gave the invitation, he said, how many of you young men feel called to preach? I want you to raise your hand. And I remember there was 9 other guys in there besides me. They put their hand up. And I was a bit timid, but I put my hand up. And then Pastor Johnson said, if you really mean business, stand up. So, again, I was kind of shy. All the other guys stood up before me. I thought, well, I need to stand up. I think God's calling me. So I stood up. And then Pastor said, if you really mean business, come down this aisle and kneel at this altar. I thought, oh, man. But I was the last guy down. And I knelt at the altar. And Pastor said, you know, every young preacher needs a good deacon. So he had a deacon come to each one of these guys and put their hand on their shoulder and pray over them. And I remember my deacon was Brother Charlie Carper. Some of you might remember him. He was my deacon. He had a special place in my heart after that whole thing. But Pastor said, if you really mean business, you need to make it public. And this church will keep you accountable to that decision that you make. And you know what? I've been accountable to you since that time. You guys have watched over me to make sure that I mean business. And this is what Joshua is saying to the people here. And then he looked down at verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them up a statute, an ordinance in Shechem. And verse 26, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. So what does he do? He kind of memorializes this decision. Really, what's happening here is it's a covenant decision. Joshua's going to hold him to it. And so he establishes a covenant with this generation who said they're going to serve the Lord. And as a token of their commitment, what Joshua does is he takes a big stone and he sets it up. This is another memorial stone in the book of Joshua. And notice he says in verse 26 that he set it up under an oak. Remember I told you there was a famous oak there in Shechem? The oak tree that Abraham first came to and God revealed himself to him. And, you know, oak trees, they last a long time. I remember one time I was over in England, there's over there what is called the Wycliffe oak tree. It was an oak tree that John Wycliffe preached under about 1,000 years ago, you know. It was an old tree, and it had been there for many, many years. And I remember I researched it and found out where that tree was, and I went to see it, this tree that was so old. And here's this oak tree. I think it's the same oak tree where Abraham was set up an altar and God revealed himself. And here by this oak tree, Joshua sets up this stone. And anytime people would walk by that tree and see that stone, they would know that a decision was made. And what was the decision? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You know, these door plaques that I'm giving you, if you don't mean it, don't put it up on your door. But if that's really your testimony, put it on your door. And every time you walk in your house, remind yourself, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to put him first. We're going to serve God. That's what God would have us to do. Let's bow for prayer together today. Father, thank you for this beautiful story here of Joshua and how it challenges our own heart. Lord, I think the greatest need we have in our country is for people to stand up and say, I'm going to serve the Lord as for me and my house. We need this. We need fathers who are leaders, spiritual leaders, that will lead their home, their church, with total commitment to who you are. And so, Lord, speak to hearts. And remind us in days to come that we made a decision. And may we never relinquish or go back on that decision. May we cleave to you with all our heart, determining to serve you until our very last day on earth. We'll serve you all of our days. May this be our prayer. And how many here would say that? Again, this is a very serious decision. But how many of you would say, that's really my heart? And I can honestly say before God, those words, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Would you lift your hand? You say, I'm not ashamed of that. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to put him first. In my heart and my life, I'm going to serve God. Father, thank you for this word. I pray that you will bless it to our hearts. And Lord, may we truly follow through with that commitment that we will serve the Lord all of our days. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.